So we think we have a quorum. We're not going to be taking any votes anyway, so we're going to kind of move ahead with that. And I assume that any members that aren't here will be here soon. So if you want to take, who's taking the role today? Would you take the role, please? President.
Here. Here. Here.
Senator
Bryan.
Present.
Senator Kibbe. Senator Wall.
Here.
Senator Barrett.
Present.
Senator Pressing.
Here.
Senator Pearson. Senator Penfield.
Here.
Senator Kibbe.
Anyone that's not here will be excused until they arrive. And Representative Butler had a question right off the bat, so.
Do we have a presentation first?
I think we do.
Okay, could we have the presentation? I have a question for Dr. Salka.
Okay. You've all seen the minutes from the last meeting. If there's no questions on that, they'll stand approved as delivered. Any questions on that? All right, the first person today on my agenda is, Mike Sexton here, would you come up first, please? And then I don't know any reason why, are the auditors here as well?
Yes, sir.
Scratch that then, maybe the auditors ought to come up quickly and give us a quick overview of the auditors. Can you come up, please? I kind of billed that yesterday that we'd have the auditors. So if you, I don't want to take a lot of time because our time's limited, but if you could give us just a brief overview, I would appreciate it. And you know how to work the microphone. You pull that up and push the button, and when it's red, you're hot. And when you don't want to be hot, push the button again. Got it? There you go. Great. Good talk.
In light of your time, I thought what I would do is kind of give you the 30,000-foot view of these reports, kind of.
And excuse me, if you would say your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Put the mic closer to you.
I'll introduce myself here. I'm Ted Loden. I have with me today Joe Desmond and Stephanie Lovin from my firm. They were the auditors primarily in charge of the audits over the last two-year period. And I'm the managing partner of Brooks Loden, CPA firm. I've been the auditors of the association for some time. I thought I'd give you the 30,000-foot view, just kind of orient you to the reports and then allow you to ask what questions you have. But I think it's important perhaps to go through what you have in front of you. There are three reports you have in front of you. One is a consolidated financial report. The second one is a governmental auditing report, and then there should be a management report in front of you as well. So they're three separate reports. The organization, I think, has come a long way in putting their financial house in order. The board of directors, in our view, has been diligent and dedicated to getting their issues resolved and getting policies established and trying to establish controls. However, as you heard yesterday, I think there's still some work to be done. If you go to the financial report, the consolidated financial report, it's a bound report, and go to the table of contents.
Is that what you're passing out now? Please pass out. I don't think very many people have it.
I'm sorry. I assumed you did.
It's not this one.
I think some of the members have it, but not everybody has.
Okay,
so let's get it out there. Everybody ready to start? Everybody got what they need? All right, please continue.
All right, thank you. If you go to the table of contents, I think this gives you a view of what's in here. You'll notice that there are consolidated statements of financial position, statements of activities, and statements of cash flows. Those are all on a consolidated basis, and I'll explain what that means in a minute because there was a question yesterday about what entities are included in the consolidation. Then you'll notice in the supplementary information, that there is a consolidating statement of financial position. That will show you all entities. That will show you all of the entities separately, and then it will show you how they're combined and how they flow into the consolidated report up front. You also see us consolidating statements of activities, consolidating statements of cash flows, and down below on Schedule 7, 8, and 9, consolidating statements of expenses by program, consolidating statements of expenses by organization, also for all entities. Also in that supplementary report, you will see just the Iowa Association and its wholly owned subsidiary, LGS. And you will see, and so there will be four of those schedules showing just the association and its wholly owned subsidiary. And then you'll see four schedules showing the subsidiary, the association, and the foundation on a combining basis. So there's a lot of information here for you. You can see the consolidated numbers as well as the numbers for the individual entities. If you go to page one, this is our audit report. You'll notice it says we've audited the accompanying consolidated statements of financial position of the Iowa Association. You'll notice it says the financial statements are the responsibility of the association's management. Our responsibility is to express an opinion based on our auditing standards that these statements have been prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's our responsibility. It's outlined there in that paragraph. You also see in the second paragraph that we have conducted an audit in accordance with governmental auditing standards, which is in the second report I referred to. And then you will see that there's an exception to our report. I'd like to call your attention to that. That is the third paragraph. And the third paragraph states, we were unable to obtain written representations from certain members of management responsible for the financial activities of the association from July 1, 2009 through January 12th of 2011. That is because those people were no longer with the association, and those that were with the association didn't feel that they had participated substantially in the preparation and the financial information for that period of time. There's no way for us to get a representation letter signed by a responsible person. That is a required auditing step according to generally accepted auditing standards, and so we had to qualify a report for that. With that exception, you'll see in about the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph, in our opinion, except for the effects of such adjustments, if any, as might have been determined to be necessary, had the written representation referred to in the preceding paragraph been furnished to us, the financial statements referred to in the first paragraph present fairly, in all material respects, the financial position of the Iowa Association. I'd like to call your attention to one other item that's on that page. If you go down in the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see the date of our report, which is January 12th of 2011. There are some reasons for that. The question was asked by someone yesterday, I don't remember, why the lateness of the report? Why did it take so long? And I think it's probably four different factors. One was that the financial statements for the June 30th year-end were not completed until about the end of September. So that means we can start planning our audit early October. And then when we complete our planning process, it always takes us some time to get auditors who were perhaps scheduled for the job off of other jobs and back on the job. And so that took some time. I think we started field work in the third week of October. Normally, it would take us a month to finish our audit work, to maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks. In that there were two more things that happened that sort of held us up. One was the pay schools information was not available. There were a lot of transactions going through pay schools that we wanted to look at. And so we waited for that information. And then secondly, subsequent to the year end, there were not financial statements available for us to look at. And we needed to look at subsequent financial statements for transactions that may have been applicable to the year end to see if the organization was preparing financial statements and also to see how the organization was performing subsequent to year end. And those things took us time. So that is why the report was issued at the date that it was issued. I want to take you to note one, which is on page 6 of the report, because this question did come up yesterday. You'll see in the first paragraph there on page 6, note 1, the Iowa Association of School Boards...
excuse me, where are you? I'm lost here.
Page 6 of the audit report.
Is it a different page 6 than the page 6 we were just on?
Oh, here we go.
I don't think we were on page... I was on
the
page...
The books are different than what was handed out.
There's...
Yes.
They are?
Yeah. Excuse me, I need to be on the same page. Does everybody else think they're on the same page?
No. I think what we've got is two different.
You've got two different reports.
This is...
That's not the audit.
The bound thing here is the scheduled expenditures for federal awards and other information, and that's what you're working off of right now?
No.
We're working off the consolidated financial report, which is a separate document, which we may or may not have.
What's it called?
It's called
consolidated
financial report.
All right, I'll just go ahead.
Okay.
I'll keep up. Okay. The Iowa Association of School Boards is under the code an association. They're not a 501c3 organization. They're not a charitable organization. They're an association. They also have a wholly owned subsidiary called Local Government Services, or LGS, which is a for-profit entity. As I understand, just very quickly, the reason for the LGS entity is that the association owns a building which they are trying to rent some of the space out in. That building, when you start renting space, you incur UBIC, or unrelated business income. When you start providing services outside of your association members, like perhaps the pay school program, you start providing services to other than the association members, then you also have a UBIC question. So it made sense to organize a for-profit entity that is wholly owned by the association to insulate it from any UBIC issues from a tax perspective. So that was the reason for setting up LGS.
Okay, can I cut to the chase? I really don't have a lot of time, and I have a couple members have questions. And
yeah.
I've been down, this is not my first rodeo with audits, and it takes quite a while to do it the way I know you want to do it.
Okay.
And so I'd like to have my members ask a few questions, and unless there's something you feel you really need to get out before that.
I'll get to it very quickly. I've got just a few other comments about the financial report, and then we'll get to it very quickly.
Okay.
There are four entities that were 2080 agreements.
Three.
Well, one has been sold. iJump has been sold. It was a non-profit. There are three 2080 agreements. ISJET, ISBF, and ISCAP. The reason those are consolidated is that ISB controls the appointment of the board of directors and gets an economic benefit from it. So therefore, according to accounting principles, those need to be consolidated.
Could you repeat that? Which ones?
ISJET, which is the Joint Investment Trust, the foundation, and ICECAP. ICEBA, and ICECAP. The foundation is a separate 501c3 organization, and the purpose of the foundation is to handle any grants that can only come to a 501c3, not to an association. There are instances where an association cannot do the work for a grant, and it has to be a 501c3 organization. So, hopefully, if you want to clear up, you can go to note 1, page 6, and get that information. There are two other reports that I referred to earlier, the bound book that you have, which has the government audit report in it. You will see the schedule of findings. You will see the recommendations that we had, and you will see the response from ISB, and you'll see our response to ISB's response in there. I'm not going to go through that with you because we spent a lot of time going through all of those last year. If you have specific questions, we'd be happy to go through those with you and answer your questions. And then the third report you have is a management letter report, which has suggestions for ISB and their management team. With that, please.
Thank you. Representative Pressing, you had a question at this end, I think.
Thank you. And thanks for coming here. I do have familiarity with audits too, and have experienced those. One thing I had a question about, I think on our first page that you went through, you had listed that, I gotta remember what page, okay. It was the letter from Brooks Lontbaden. It's your firm, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that first paragraph, it says, and you go down a couple sentences, these financial statements are the responsibility of the association's management. My question is with regard to the board. What is their fiduciary responsibility with these? Or do they stand up and raise their right hand saying that we will do this to maintain the integrity of the overall program? And I guess my question is, why is it just the association's management responsibility? Because there is a board that oversees.
Correct. This is standard language from the AICPA. It's not something that is unique to our firm. You'll find that in every audit report. That's standard language. And I suppose the theory is that you are correct. The board of directors has responsibility for oversight of management, and then management has responsibility for the preparation of the financial statements.
Okay. So, in other words, you're telling me they do have a fiduciary responsibility?
Yes.
Okay. And they're sworn to that?
Well, I don't know about sworn. I mean, that is their job. I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Stand up and raise the right hand and,
no,
and swear to their duty and responsibility?
No.
Okay. The other thing, and I'm going to go back to the salaries, because, you know, that's kind of the thing that it's like if you hit your thumb with a hammer, you know, it sticks out, and it's that's what's sticking out to me right now, is, and it's this, some of the products that ISAB had, and they hired staff, this is what I was shared yesterday, they hired staff, brought them in, and then they offered incentives to their salary based on the numbers of those products that they sold. Are you aware of that? Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's two people that I'm aware of.
There's two individuals that I'm aware of that get an incentive, or if you want to call it a commission or something else like that.
Okay. So the commission then they receive, who put that together? Was it, again, is it the association's management? Or was it the board's doing? I'm curious because as I looked in some of those dollar amounts, in 4 years I saw somebody's salary increase $170,000. And I assume that person was one
But we don't go to all the board meetings, so we don't know what all transpires at the board meetings. And if you look at our comments, one of the things is if they're having these discussions at the board meetings, that this be documented in the minutes, because we can't tell if the board is actually looking and approving some of this stuff. Now, the agreements that these two individuals have are signed by management. But, you know, it's important, and that was one of our themes, is that the board, this needs to be documented by the board and approved by the board, so they're aware of these things, and that these agreements or transactions or salary things are reasonable, so that they don't have any issues with the IRS or the public, and, you know, when it comes out in the paper.
Okay, and so then I'd address this to you too, is that board governance is a significant aspect. I mean, we're seeing it in Wall Street. There's higher amounts of responsibilities that boards now assume. And so I serve on boards back home. I have a fiduciary responsibility. I stand up and raise my right hand and swear to that. And I don't know if we can directly require that occur, but there's definitely some board governance with regard to this overall issue that we face with IASB.
I agree.
I would add, I think that would be part of what we consider.
Okay,
when
I appreciate
you towards our legislation.
Can I add?
Yes.
One quick comment there. The IRS does require that there be a compensation committee established and that there be procedures for reviewing compensation of the highly paid executives, and that the entity look at salary surveys, comparable comp, when establishing their, and that's sort of been the focus of what we're saying in the schedules of findings. And so the board has set up, as Ronnie said yesterday, a compensation committee. They are looking at the studies and they are trying to evaluate the salaries and make sure that they're within acceptable ranges.
Which board?
ISB board.
Thank you.
Senator Cronin.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, gentlemen, for being here. I have perhaps it's a simple question, but it's one that I need to clear up in my head as I proceed to digest this information. And it, too, is on your cover letter. The third paragraph, that you were unable to obtain written comment from, is that typical? It seems to me that even though someone is no longer employed or with the business, most generally you can locate them to for some kind of assertion. Could you comment, please?
Well, I would have to say it's not typical. I've never run into it before in my 30-plus year career. So I would have to say, based on my experience, I don't think it's typical. Having said that, we can request that people sign the representation letter, but we can't make them sign the representation letter. We certainly did request, the people had good explanations in their minds for why they wouldn't sign the representation letter, but the fact of the matter is they would not sign it. So we have no choice but to put that qualification in the report.
I understand. I'm not making allegations against you. I was just trying to get some clarification as to, you know. And so gee whiz. I guess that'll close my questioning. Thank you.
I got a couple more questions, but did you guys think it was funny that everybody hightailed it when you started asking questions and it seemed like they all split and got out of town? Anybody think that was odd at all?
Well, sir, I've never been through this type of situation before.
So yes.
And so I guess You know, there were discussions with my partner group about whether we should continue the engagement or not, and extensive discussions. Our feeling was that the organization itself is a great organization. It does great things for schools and for the kids, state of Iowa, and we didn't want to just walk away from it and leave it in a lurch for an auditor at the last minute. So we decided to go forward with the audit and complete our work.
All right, fair enough. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just basically one quick question. Do you have an organizational chart?
We have many.
I guess this, excuse me, this is for Mr. Gentry. Does the association have an organizational chart that shows names and all the fingers outstretched?
We would have an organizational chart that would show the entities that are listed on page 6 of the audit, yes.
You will provide that to the committee?
Certainly.
With names?
What names? What would you like?
Who is in what position?
The board of directors of those, sure,
certainly. And the board of directors to ICAP and ASEVA?
Certainly.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have for now.
Representative Pettengill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The comments that you made regarding the entities being counted together with IASB, does that mean that there were monies going between the different entities for any reason?
There are intercompany transactions, yes.
Okay, is that something that you normally see between different?
You especially see that when entities are controlled by a board of directors. And this is, in essence, one controlled group except for ICEBA. ICEBA is not controlled because they don't, ISB does not control the appointment of the board like they do with the other entities.
But IASB has its own board, and each of these entities have their own board.
Yes, but ISB has the power to appoint people to those boards and appoint a majority of the people to those boards.
So it is a common practice to have transfers between companies under...
Well, yes, because what happens is that services are provided between those entities. Rather than each of them being a standalone business unit, there are shared services that happen between those entities.
Yes, of course, but those are kind of like they're invoiced or something to the different...
They are invoiced, yeah.
All right, but for cash flow purposes, is there ever any transactions that went between entities that were not an invoice item?
Yes. You want
to? What do you want me to add on that?
Do you want to?
Well, are they included in the audit?
Yes.
Okay. I've not had a chance to read it yet. But what section would they be in?
Well, I guess they're not in any specific section, but I mean, all the entities that are controlled by the association are in this audit report. So what happens is, if for some reason there's some cash flow that's needed on LGS, the association would then loan money to LGS to cover those expenses. It's just what has happened is that loan has been built up because there's more expenses being incurred. There was more investment in software and some other things and a building and that's why you see that big loan going from the association to LGS. But from an operating standpoint, money was loaned from the association to LGS to cover some of those services.
So it would be represented in the loan figure?
Yes.
Only?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then which entities had the two employees that were commissioned?
LGS.
LGS?
Yes.
As the parent.
As a for-profit LGS.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If the committee will bear with us, we Mike Sexton drove quite a ways. He's the only one that drove a lot to come today. I'd like to ask these folks to come back another day and go move to Mike Sexton. We only have less than a half hour left in this room. Because the Republicans are going to caucus here in the House. Is that right? Yeah. They're going to use this room. So.
My question is very short.
Well, you're not first.
If I could
just ask you all to bear with us. If you folks, we could ask you to come back another day. And
sure.
Just, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming here today.
Thank you very much.
And if I could get a Mr. Sexton to come up, please. And use whichever one of those mics you want, but turn the one off and not use them. Now just push the button so the light goes out. There you go. When you're ready, tell us your name, please.
I'm ready, Mr. Chairman.
And your name is?
Oh, Mike Sexton. Serve on the IES Board of Directors. And I'm also the board president of the Rockwell C. Litton School Board.
And you're former state senator?
Yes, sir.
Right. Senator Sexton, let me just ask a couple questions and then, unless you have a statement, do you have a statement?
I have no, I'm at your pleasure, sir.
Thank you very much. Let me ask a couple questions. How long have you been a board member of IESB?
I'm just entering my third year. I'll be up for election this fall.
Are those 3-year terms?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware that two former employees have started their own company called Iowa School Finance Informational Services that appears to be competing directly with IESB?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any personal stock or vested interest in the Iowa in that company?
No, sir.
Well, that was kind of a rhetorical question because it seems that you've made a lot of statements that throw work from IESB to this company.
Could you elaborate on what I say, sir, that throws work that way?
It seems, and I can't, it just seems that every time I pick up the paper, Mike Sexton is doing things to make IESB look bad and this other outfit look better. And I just wondered why you would do that. Maybe you don't agree, you probably don't, but I just wondered.
As far as I know, Senator, I've only been quoted in the paper one time, and that was our last meeting. If you know more than that, but that's the only one I'm aware of.
Then, let's go to the other question. I'll move on. That isn't fair if I don't have that to show you. But the last statement that I heard from you was, we have a lot of things to hide here, and so we should something like have secret meetings. What, elaborate on that. What's that all about?
Yeah, I can elaborate on that.
Yeah.
That was our last meeting, Senator, where legal counsel brought to us the situation that we were going to have to decide how much information we were going to disclose and how much of that was going to be public before July 1st and after July 1st. And so legal counsel asked us to have a discussion about that. And his ending remark was that he believed we should probably go back before July 1st, 2010 and release documents that were requested because we have nothing to hide. That was his comment. And I believe my comment, I was the first to speak, as quite often I am. And I said, with all due respect to legal counsel, I believe we do have something to hide. And from then on, I probably talked another 4 or 5 minutes, maybe not quite that long, about, and once I used that, we have something to hide, then we referred to it as we have things to protect. But I was making a point to the board and my colleagues that I think this is a pretty serious thing, and when I was talking about things to hide and later use protect, it is things that we have school boards call us every day and ask us questions about personnel issues and student issues and financial issues. And my point was, I don't think those are things that the local school board wants to read about in the Des Moines Register when they call and ask us some advice, as well as our revenue-generating entities that you've all just talked about. Those things we receive revenue from, and we use that money to reduce our dues to the membership and also to the things I just talked about, the advice we give and the staff we have that we send to school districts when they're in trouble. The school districts only pay a small part of that, what it costs us to do that. And so I think it's important that we protect those revenues, Senator, so we can stay viable for the school districts of the state of Iowa.
So, I served on school board for a long time, and I would agree with you that issues about personnel, students, maybe parents, a lot of those things need to be kept quiet in closed meetings. But that's really not, we're talking about things like credit cards going wild and lots of money and salaries being doubled and all those kind of things, and they don't fall into any of those categories. So my question is, if we're going to do some things probably this year, we're probably going to do some legislation to tighten this up, and I assume you're going to run for re-election, Senator. If you do, are you going to be able to work with that? Because I think we're going to open it up. There's going to be more transparency, and given what you've said already, are you going to be able to work with that?
I think the problem right now, Senator, is we don't know what we're working with. I agree with you. We need some rules. As I sit there and I read where we're at today in those chapters and what you folks all passed last year, it's a pretty big gray area to me. I don't know what's protected and not, and what is and what isn't protected. And I think we all do agree with some of the personnel issues and some of the things that needs to be protected. But what's some of our business entities and some of those things that we want to talk about, and this is what I foresee happening in it, and I think a good example of it is what happened with my statement. A statement that I made that was probably way out there, but the reason we do those things, and you folks do it in caucus, you have a person that's clear to the right in both caucuses, and you have a person that's clear to the left, and both of those people come out with these extreme ends of the discussion, and somewhere you end up in the middle of where those two people are. And that's where I'm in the board, Senator. I'm one of the guys clear out on the edge that shoots these ideas out, and then the rest of the board says, well, yeah, that's a good point, Mike, but we probably can't go there. And it increases dialogue, and it helps everybody bring up their points of what they think and where we ought to go as a board, Senator. So it happened, and did I know that Mr. Kaufman was sitting right behind me when I said that? Of course I did. He sat right behind me all day. So, but that's not going to stop me from saying what I truly believe and what I think. We talk about fiduciary, you know, what we're supposed to do. And by the way, Representative, at the local board level, we do raise our hand and take the same oath that you do. And so I took that once again. I took it as a senator, and I took it as a board member. And so I believe that does, because you can't sit on ISB unless you're a standing board member on your local board. So I believe we are covered by what you said. Legal counsel would have to argue with me or back me up, but that's what I believe. So having the Des Moines Register sit right behind me isn't going to stop me from saying what I'm going to say and what I believe and what I have to do to protect the Iowa Association of School Boards, but exactly what's going to happen just happened. A little tiny chunk of what I said got put in the paper, and look what happened.
Did you, in one of those board meetings, did you say that you thought this oversight committee was wasting taxpayer dollars looking into the ISB? Did you say that?
I didn't see
that in the paper, but did you say that in the meeting?
What I said in that meeting, Senator, was I asked our folks, asked legal counsel and our auditors and the folks that showed up there how much it cost us to have those folks represent us and come to the oversight committee. I never said it was a waste of tax dollars. I said, how much has all this cost us? That was my question.
What'd you come up with?
I think we're at somewhere around $500,000. It's a lot of money, Senator.
So it was about half the increase the Gilchrist gave us up, roughly. Right? So money was going out anyway, is my point.
Yeah, we're getting that money back, Senator. We'll never get this money back.
You may say you're getting that money back, but I'm not seeing that you're getting it. You haven't gotten anything back yet to speak of, the way it looks, and I don't think you're getting much money back. But that remains to be seen. There are others who want to ask questions, and I've gone way long enough.
I'm going to jump.
Yes.
I just want to point out to the board that the money that you're spending to defend this, the burden lies with you and your organization, not this committee representing the taxpayers of the state of Iowa. So if you want to cast blame for that money being spent, you probably ought to look at the organization itself, not the taxpayers that are choosing to find answers.
And I never did that, Representative. Once again, my fiduciary responsibility is to ask the question, how much is this costing us? And that was my question.
Okay, good.
Representative Peters.
Thanks for being here. We all know the media loves good sound bites. So, what boards do you serve on? Just the main board? Do you serve on any other boards within the any of this other subsidiary boards?
Yeah, ICEJET.
Okay.
I serve. I'm a member of that board, and I'm also chairman of the newly established Compensation and Benefits Committee that they just talked about. I'm the chairman of that.
Oh, good, because that was a question I have for you. Mary, is it Della Gardell?
Yes.
What was her position with the association?
I want to have legal counsel or Ronnie answer that for sure.
At one time, I think she was assistant executive director. She was of the association, and she was also in charge of the foundation.
Okay. So, and then maybe could someone go over how much money is in the foundation? Because at yesterday's meeting, we talked about there's just not that much money in the foundation.
We will get you a specific answer.
I think it's in the audit right here, isn't it, in the audit? Could you maybe explain how much money is managed in the audit?
It's in the consolidating schedules in the back. Yes, it's in the consolidated report. It's hard to be confusing about this. And you'll see a column for the Iowa Association School Board Foundation. And you'll see the first line, which is cash and cash equivalents. And you'll see that there's $43,000 in that foundation of cash and cash equivalents.
Okay. So she was paid $140,155.55.
But there are programs, as I said earlier, there are grants that are administered by the foundation.
The $48,000 is not the whole story.
No.
Or the $43,000.
No. There are grants that are administered by the foundation because those grants are specific for 501c3. Organization, so that's where, as ISB does its business, those types of grants are administered through that.
So where do we find that in the audit?
Well, if you would look at the next page is part of the answer on page 25. You will see the professional services provided by the foundation. You'll see the grants
grant income, and you'll see some net assets that were released from restriction. In other words, the expenses of providing that grant were released from restriction during the year.
So what page is that? Is that?
Page 25.
Maybe you need to do the auditor stuff today. I'd really like to finish up with Mike.
I think that on our copy it doesn't say what's.
Okay, why don't we bring you back a recap of that?
My question then for Mike is, would you explain to me as a board member how the compensation committee works for you to know how much staff is getting under which capacity, which branch of which subsidiary, and also how you know whether someone is, like the whole nepotism issue. Will you explain to me how that all works? And I know Representative Fodler asked for an organizational chart which lists all of the staff people and their jobs within the overall association as well as the subsidiaries, and I'd like as well the governance, the list of people on the governance branch of each of those, and if there's any relationship among all of those people.
One of the things that has happened as a result of the review of IASB was the establishment of the Compensation and Benefits Committee. That committee was just appointed, and so to the extent that Mike is on that committee, he's just starting to work on doing that. Beforehand, the board adopted a salary budget. The executive director then identified the salaries for all employees, and the board was not involved in it and didn't approve those. That has now changed with amendments to our policies and bylaws, which requires that the board review and approve all salaries or salary adjustments that occur during the year. So in terms of how this will happen going forward, they are developing plans now on how they will operate going forward, but he would not be able to tell you how a specific employee got to a salary that they were earning in the past.
Okay, so your responsibility on this new compensation committee is not only for the association, but for all of the different subsidiaries as well, that you would be the person or in the group of making the recommendations to the full board?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Representative Peterson. I asked that question at our last board meeting, that how are we going to have a compensation and benefits committee for each one of these? And I think it was what I heard from Ronnie and the president as we start out with, that this is going to cover everybody in the whole association. It would be like those little entities, everybody's going to be handled the same underneath that compensation policy.
And then my last question is the bonuses. What is the policy going to be moving forward on compensation, the bonus, or what's the word? The
incentive
program. Is that still going to be part of your compensation package?
Well, just as legal counsel said, we've spent numerous hours. We realize how important this piece of IASB work is to get this compensation policy done. And so my committee members and I have spent countless hours on go-to meetings and working, trying to get this all worked out. And once again, you get things started, then you find out there's things you have to put in. And we have not got to the, what you want to call a bonus section. We haven't got to any of that yet. I mean, we meet two times or six times a year. And so we do a lot of this in the evenings, and so it's not that we can all come to one place and work on this every day and get it done. You know, we do the best we can to get it done, but it will include everything that we're talking about, Representative.
Do you have a timeline in place for that?
Well, we thought we had it pretty well done until our last meeting, and we found out there's a lot of things that we didn't have put in there. And so I would hope by this summer we have, we thought we'd have it all done by the time we got a new executive director, and I don't know that that's realistic. So, but we're doing, we're going as fast as we can.
Representative Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How are you, Mike?
Good, Representative.
You have six meetings a year. What's your compensation for each meeting?
We get mileage.
That's all?
Yes, sir. And most of us don't take the mileage.
How far do you live from Des Moines?
I live 120 miles from Des Moines.
Do you get insurance?
No.
So you're doing this out of the goodness of your heart?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You're probably the perfect person to talk to because you're president of the, your local school board?
Yes, sir.
Do you, does the local school board have insurance with who?
My local school board have, what type of insurance are you, I mean?
Well,
what,
let's say building insurance.
Well,
through, do you have insurance through the Iowa School Board Associations?
Through their EMC, through that agreement with the Iowa Association of School Boards, yes, sir.
Okay, good. How much do you, does the Iowa School Board Association get back from your premiums?
How much does my school get back?
No, the Iowa School Board Association. How much of your premium kicks back to them?
Well, they, the premium comes back to them, and ISB sends it back out to the local school districts.
How much do you get?
I don't know, we just got that sheet. I think our school district gets a, somewhere at $2,000 or something is what we get back from.
Have you asked our, for when you were bidding with for your insurance, did you do check any other places?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ask the School Board Association's insurance company for a loss report?
I think we...
The dividend is figured on the loss report. They take losses for the entire group, cover those losses, and then the premium over the losses, and they also take a percentage for profit, and the remainder is returned to IASB to be distributed to the school districts that participate.
So if a school district asks for the report, does the premium go down at that time about 25%?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Would you repeat it, please? This information comes to me late, so I'm working through it.
Okay.
There's a school district, Linmar School District. They had a report from an insurance company that insures about 3,000 buildings in the Midwest, school buildings. And they spent, I think it was $106,000 more to go with the Iowa School Board Association's insurance company because they got it back. And if at that time, if they'd asked for a loss report, it would have been 25% less. But I want to know how much of that comes back. Does $106,000 come back to the Linmar School District, or does that just screw in the taxpayers again? And that's my words.
Well, certainly we're not involved in any program that would do what you say to the taxpayers. Now, we will have our insurance representative come, and you can ask him any question, and he'll respond to it. But I think we, you know, we will certainly have them come. We know that there are a number of school districts who have sought bids from other companies recently, and they all found that our program is the best form. Now, the school districts are not compelled to join our program, and they have the flexibility to leave.
This is what I'm trying to find out, sir. What is the kickback coming back to the schools that makes those people stay with you folks?
I think
we're talking $106,000.
I think the program, the reason why they stay is, one, how the claims are handled. The claims are handled by people, school people, who have their best interests at heart. We have programs, we were like the first insurance company to cover computers and those sorts of things. We keep our program up to date and really minister to the needs of school districts. because it's run for school districts. And so that is why, my understanding is that you have the majority of districts in the state of Iowa that are participants in our program.
How many school districts do you have? Under 300?
Just slightly under 300. I think we've got, I'd say we've got above 90% of the school districts in the state of Iowa.
And if I might,
Representative Butler, this insurance program is much like a co-op, and you spend so much money at that co-op, and at the end of the year, you're going to get a dividend check back. That's exactly what this is. You're going to pay $100,000 for insurance, and at the end of the year, if there's not very many claims made against the insurance company, you're going to get $5,000 back. So that $5,000 goes back into the school budget. So I don't know where you're going with this.
Well, I'm talking Lindmar is what I'm talking about.
And we can get to that.
$106,000 is a lot of money.
And that's what they got back?
No, that was the difference in the insurance premium that they're paying because they're staying with you and what's coming, what they would have paid with this other company, the competition to you.
Well, we can get all that in. I mean, please, if the other company's a lot cheaper, I don't know why they wouldn't just go with
it. I think it's something that this committee needs to look at. Okay?
Okay.
Senator Greiner, we have to stop.
I have a request for information when they come back next time. I wanted to bring something with
them. Can you do that when we shut the meeting down? Just ask them to do that.
Yeah.
Or just do it.
Well, I want everybody to get the information.
Yeah, just ask them to send it to get it to our staff. I hate to do this, but I may have to ask you to come back again.
That's fine, Senator. I'll be whatever your
pleasure. We have to stop this meeting today because we have Republican caucus is just itching to get in here. So with that, we'll adjourn this meeting today. Senator Butler, moves we arise, and thank you very much.
Yep, thank you, Senator.